Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be.
Hey chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons that save you time, money, or a headache.
Or a heartache, in this case.
Yeah.
You see
Why
what I did
I think you were going to say hard on?
That too.
Maybe,
that too.
Maybe save you a hard on or get,
or get you a hard
get
on.
Get you a hard on. But because today we have the beautiful and talented Liz Boss on the show.
Oh, thank you.
We are so, so honored. We've been saying this has been a collaboration in the works for a very long time, and we're all together in the studio in Sydney.
Yeah.
And I feel like the stars have aligned.
Fully.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like the scene in High School Musical where it's like you can just feel the magic at the start where they're at the ski lodge. And you're like, ooh.
The start of something new.
Yeah. Fully, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is like, no.
And she's like, no, you have
no,
read
honestly,
the room wrong.
I agree. I'm so happy I'm here. And it's like the timing of it was perfect because we've been trying to work something out with a podcast, but I'm so flaky with my DMs, so it's my fault. But
no.
I'm sure the DMs are popping off. Things get lost in there, you know?
No, I'm really glad because I was just telling you guys, in person is so much more real and you could, like, actually have a real conversation.
You can actually
and
talk to people,
I'm so glad that we could do it in person.
Yeah,
so,
and we need to for today's episode because we're getting into lots of, like, dating advice and heartbreak dilemmas, which is obviously your area of expertise.
Yeah.
But before we get into the episode, we do love to start with a life lesson of the week. So would you like to kick us off as our guest of honor?
It
can be big or small, silly, serious, whatever you like.
Okay. Well, if you're not having fun, leave.
Love.
I love that.
I think fun is such an underrated word. When you think of your partner, like, just having fun and knowing that you're not taking everything so seriously and it doesn't feel heavy. Because I have so many people in my DMs all the time. They're like, oh my God, I'm talking to this guy. It feels like I'm anxious, I'm stressed, I'm depressed, I'm worried, like I can't sleep. I'm like, if you're not having fun, leave.
Yeah, what's the point?
Like, life is supposed to be easy and fun and light. And it's such simple advice, but I think it's actually really powerful advice at the same time.
1,000%. It's like that saying, it's like when you realize you're just on a rock.
Floating
like,
in space.
Floating in space, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Like, exactly. May as well have a good
it's
time.
It's not that deep.
Exactly.
Similar vibes. My life lesson of the week is something I saw on TikTok, and it was this creator listing all these things that you do day to day that sometimes in our brain we're like, oh, I have to go to work or I have to go to the grocery shops because I need to get groceries. Well, blah, blah, blah. But she was like rebranding it to be like, I get to go to the grocery store to buy food that I want to eat. I get to drive to work and listen to my favorite music.
Yeah.
I get to go to work and get money so I can go out and have fun with my friends. Like, she was just rebranding it. And I know that sometimes, not all the time, we don't want to have that. We do want to just have a whinge, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's a balance.
But I've been trying to kind of reframe some things without being like, whenever I'm being like, blah, 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 and I'm like, wait, hold on. I get to. And it is just a nice little rebrand in your brain.
Well, it's like it's a privilege or an opportunity rather than a chore.
Also, my other life lesson is to watch the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy. I watched that this week. I cried last night. It was great. I was then explaining the orchestral score to my boyfriend. I was like, do you understand how amazing this is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good life lesson to always remind ourselves of.
How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that
best
one. Scratch
movie.
The other
no,
one.
No, fuck the other one. You know what? Dog shit. Absolute terrible advice.
You finished on a high.
Yeah.
My life lesson of the week is something that I actually learned last night at a work event, and I was, some people were asking us about the book and the launch of our book.
Don't serve eggplant to vegetarians.
That's another thing. I'll rant about that on another episode. No more eggplant and mushroom for vegetarians, please.
We've been done. It's our last season.
I got food poisoning from mushrooms the other day.
No.
So.
What?
Wait, sorry. That's don't want you to go off topic with your life lesson.
Oh my God.
But
no.
It was traumatic. Yeah. So
they're evil.
It's not good.
I knew it.
See, it's not good. I'm opposed to a mushroom, but it's whenever I remember it's a fungus.
Exactly. I just can't. Anyway.
No, yeah, sorry.
Not to be rude about the event that I went to. Very appreciative. But somebody was asking me about the book launch and they were like, oh, like what have you and Alex done to celebrate? And I was like, oh,
shit,
nothing really. And I was like, oh, yeah, like we need to have a girls' night, like kind of as like a throwaway comment. And the person I was speaking to said, you'll never be able to celebrate your first book being published again. And I was like, that's so true. And she was like, I was like, you actually could say that about anything. Yeah. Like you'll never be able to celebrate your 30th birthday again. You'll never be able to celebrate buying your first home again. Like all of these things, you only get one chance, really. And I think a lot of us, you know, we're always just focusing on the next and the next thing that we have to work on and not taking a pause to celebrate our wins, big or small. But you never get a chance to go back and do it again. So I've decided that you and I are going to book something in. I don't know what, but we're just going to do something.
Thank you, Biz.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exciting, coming out with a book.
Yeah.
Yeah, very exciting. That's so exciting. Yeah, so... Okay. We'll do it.
All right. I didn't even know we were doing that. Down.
Yep. Done.
All right.
Sorry.
You've got access to my calendar.
Yeah.
I'll let you
exactly.
Tell me where I am and what I'm doing.
I've got your calendar and the work card, honey.
Gorgeous.
That's all I need.
All right. Let's get into the episode. So, Liz, we think of you as like the unproblematic Carrie Bradshaw. Because, like, Carrie has the moments.
Yeah. Like, we love her.
We love Carrie.
Yeah.
But you're just like the epitome of like dating advice for the internet, which I just love, which means you're the perfect person to have on because we opened up the chicks hotline to send us all their dating dilemmas and shituationships.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
DM. Oh, my God. Some of them that we got are so spicy.
Okay.
Then we're going to play a game that I coined last night called Hump Him or Dump Him.
I love that. It's the 2024 Smash or Pass. Hump or Dump.
And I was like to my boyfriend last night, I was like, is this too rogue to call the thing? And then he's like, what do you mean by it? I was like, literal sense.
Like literally hump
as
him
in, like,
or dump
him. Like stay, get that D girl.
Yeah.
Or dump him, block his number, and never talk to him again. He's like, I like it.
I like it.
Sweet.
I think it's catchy.
Sweet. So when going through the hotline, I've kind of pulled what were some of the really common dilemmas that were sent in, and then we're going to kind of give some advice.
Discuss.
Okay. And see what we think. Okay, so the first is from Christina. The guy told me he needs time to develop feelings, didn't want to talk to me. It's been 20 days since. Ew, my God.
20 days.
20 days. So, Liz, you've said on your pod, being left on read or delivered is a clear sign of them not being interested. So what do you think of this situation?
Of course, he's not interested. And I hate being so harsh, but that's kind of that's how I approach advice because I feel like some people like to sugarcoat things, especially to their friends. They're like, oh, you know, maybe he's busy, maybe he's working. I'm like, no one leaves you on read for 20 days.
20 days.
Two days, maybe, if it's brand new and you're just getting to know each other. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world if there's space in between the dates. If you're talking to someone and it's like a fresh, you know, situation and you don't really know each other yet. I think when you're feeling it out for the first few weeks, there's a little bit of wiggle room, but 20 days, you could have like went on a world tour and changed your whole life, your persona, and came back as a new person in that time frame. And yeah, like
you're waiting for this dud.
I've changed as a person in like 3 weeks, you know, that's a long period
of
time.
Seriously a long time. And I also think like, I would be that person that life would just like run away from me sometimes. And it would be like, you know, a week since I'd replied and I'd been like, shit. But I never ended up dating the person that I would forget to reply to for 7 days. Like, I think when you really like someone, when you do like someone, one, you don't need time to develop feelings because you're like, holy shit, I really like this
person.
That's
what I was going to say.
Time to develop feelings. Like, what does that really
mean,
though.
You either have feelings or you don't.
I think it's either there or it's not. Yeah. And every relationship that I've actually gotten into, I knew almost instantly that that person was going to be my boyfriend because it was just easy. It flowed. The communication was good. We were spending quality time together and I wasn't confused. And I think some people make all these excuses when it comes to dating, if they don't have any standards or boundaries. And I used to be like that. So I know, like, I used to excuse literally everything. And now I'm like, nope. If you ignore me for 20 days, you do not exist.
Yeah, you're blocked.
I feel like this person might be trying to put you on the back burner a bit.
I think so, like, too. I reckon they've probably got somebody else. Or maybe they're waiting for something else to come up, you know.
I think, like, take your power back a bit and be like, you're dropped.
How do you respond to a guy that you like when he does come back and say, sorry, I was busy?
Well, I think everything is situational, first of all. So I always go in, especially when I talk about, like, dating advice in general, I want to preface it by saying every situation is so unique. Depends on the timing. It depends how long he was gone. It depends on if he gave you notice that he's doing something before. Maybe he has a busy work week, whatever. I think it really just depends. But I would say, for the most part, just trust your gut. If you feel like something's off, if you feel anxious and you feel like you have to question everything, screenshot everything, send it to your friends, you're worried and you're thinking about it all the time and it's consuming all of your energy, it's usually not the right fit. Usually. I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I've seen it time and time again, my friends and myself included. When I start getting really anxious and distracted by this person and I don't know where they stand and it's taking away my own power because I'm, like, thinking about it all the time, they're not answering me, they're not replying, and then they'll give you, like, a text a week later being like, hey, sorry, I was busy, I was working, I'm like, nah, you're done.
Yeah.
What would you respond to this person who hasn't messaged you in 20 days saying, sorry, I was busy?
Did that happen?
They no, but this is a hypothetical.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh my God, the audacity. I wouldn't answer. I mean, I'm really cutthroat, but that's just my personality. I would either not reply because I'd probably have moved on by then, because that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a month. Like,
bully.
What are you doing? Like, are you waiting by your phone for the month? I think, like, that's not the best idea to be waiting around for someone for that long. But on the off chance they said something, I would either probably not reply, or if I still really thought it could be something and I was, like, really, really into this person, I'd probably just communicate, like, listen, I don't know what you were doing for the last 20 days, but I really need communication, and I know that my person is going to want to communicate with me and, like, be clear with me about everything. And I'm sure there's rare situations where people have ghosted other people, then they ended up married, you know, things like that. But for the most part, I don't think it's worth even investing any energy into.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Aside from being left on red, what are some other clear signs that they're not interested in you?
I would say a big one is just the consistency. Like, consistency is actually such a huge thing that I've noticed with people that aren't that interested, especially when I've dated. If one day they're obsessed and then they go 3 days without saying anything and it's very hot and cold, that dynamic's super common and a lot of people have experienced this. And I find that the best relationships and the ones that have developed into something more for me, it's always been consistent. Even if there was a day or two where we didn't speak, I never felt worried. Because it was just that, like, comfortability factor. You feel safe. Your nervous system feels at peace. You're not, like, freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, and, like, going to call them and then, like, not. Or, like,
you shouldn't have to be, like, questioning. It's like that saying being, like, if you're confused. What is it? It's like, you'll know he likes you if you're not confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, with my last relationship, I had a really good relationship with that person. And he showed me a really good example of what it should feel like with a person that, you know, you care about. And he never, like, broke his word with anything. Anything he said, he would do. And I think just monitoring that, like, actions aligning with your words, I know it's obviously a very cliche thing that everyone says, like, oh, his words better align with his actions. But it's actually, it's very true. And we often kind of, like, excuse things and ignore it and will listen to what someone's saying, but they're not really aligning with what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing to look out for. Mm. It's a very common issue.
People want to believe it. You know, if you like someone or if you're feeling lonely or insecure, you want to believe that what they're saying is true.
Yeah.
So in that moment, you're like, well, I'll just take that.
Yeah,
even if the actions don't line up. Yeah, take the crumb.
I think the other one as well is like if they're only wanting to hang out on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty clear sign.
I just said this on my podcast recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was a guy that I was dating that he only made plans with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It was this thing, like Tuesday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, he was like, he just disappeared off the face of the planet. And he'd be like, oh, how was your weekend on Monday? And I was like, no, you're done.
Yeah.
Oh
my God.
That or like if they only message to hang out like after their plans. So like, yeah, I'm going out with my friends and I'm not talking like a boys' night because we'll like respect that. But if they're going to like a
birthday or a dinner,
and you've been dating for a pretty significant amount of time, but they're like, I'll see you after. No, like invite you to meet their friends. If they're not doing that by like 6 months to like 12 months in, I'm like,
oh my God, like, 6 months?
Yeah. When do you reckon you should meet their friends?
Like but I'm just speaking from personal experience.
Yeah.
Anyone that was really into me has introduced me to their friends fairly quickly.
Mm.
Like, I would say within 2 months, we were that close where I was meeting people in their life or they were telling their friends about me.
Yeah.
And you just kind of know. It's just a knowing that, like, that person really likes you.
Mm.
It should feel that way. Not like, oh, when is he going to introduce me to his friend 6 months later? I would never wait that long.
That is so true.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to feel like somebody's secret or your only dates have been in their bedroom. That could be hot for 2 seconds max.
100%. Okay, moving on to our next one from Alicia asking how to date again after being heartbroken, being single for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to heartbreak, I think when you're going through it initially, you almost feel like your blinders are on because you cannot see anything other than the pain. And I read this book recently. I think it's called Big Wild Love. And it talks about the tunnel of pain where when you're going through that, you feel like you're never going to meet anyone else. And everyone has this common experience when you go through a really painful heartbreak. You're never going to meet anyone else. You're never going to find anyone better. And you feel like the world is limited. You almost feel like that was my only connection, that was my only shot, and now I'm gonna like die alone, basically.
Yeah.
It's such a common thing, and so many people have this fear. I posted this on Instagram recently, like, what is your biggest fear when it comes to relationships? And everyone said the fear of being alone for the rest of my life. It was like 90% of the responses. So many people have this common mindset that's very limiting. It's not an expansive mindset because when you're thinking in abundance and you're actually thinking, you know, like there's so many options and there's so many people for me, that's what you're going to attract into your life. But when you're going through a breakup and you're in that pain, you basically have your blinders on. And I think it comes down to just trusting and having complete faith and knowing that the tunnel of pain is normal and you have to go through it and you're probably going to have all those feelings and emotions, but you will come out on the other side. It sounds like so cheesy, but you will come out on the other side. And once you heal and actually do the inner work, that's when you start to realize that you did deserve so much better and attract way better. But it takes time. I think people also put so much pressure on, you know, trying to heal really fast. And they're like, I need to get over this person right now. Like, we were dating for so long, but like, they're moving on, so I need to move on. And we put these timelines on healing, but that's not how healing works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I always give people is like, stop putting so much pressure on yourself to heal. It comes naturally. Like, you can't force yourself to heal. Obviously, you have to do the inner work and, like, work towards it. But you have to be super patient about it, too. It could take time. But you'll know at the end of that period of time, you're actually going to attract better and level up. And you're not going to be faking anything. Some people will, like, mask things, go out, party, get wasted, distract themselves after a breakup. It happens, and it's a normal coping mechanism.
Why are you coming for me?
I'm sorry.
A bit rude. No, I'm just kidding, but I did exactly that. Yeah.
But that's a common response to a breakup. And that doesn't mean it's the wrong thing to do.
Oh no, I cried every time.
Yeah.
But like you'd get drunk and then maybe you'd hook up with someone and then you'd be like, I fucking hated that.
Yeah. But you've got to go through that to
the tunnel of pain
to an extent. But this person's been single for 10 years, they said. So for somebody who is really stuck in like a long tunnel of pain, do you have any advice on how they can, any strategies?
Get back on the horse, maybe.
Or any tips to try and break out of it? Because like I don't want to project, but I think that sometimes at that point, like there's something deeper going on.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, when we get comfortable in a certain mindset and we start building on that for years, you're reprogramming your brain to attract more of that. Mm. So if you're constantly focused on the pain indefinitely, this sounds like a situation where she's probably stuck on this person for years and years. Yeah. That can build if you keep focusing on it. And your brain is so powerful that it will actually reprogram itself to attract more of what she's thinking about. And that also blocks a lot of things and opportunities from coming into your life because your brain is going to attract what you're constantly thinking about. I'm really big on energy and like the law of attraction and all that stuff. And you get more of what you focus on. So my advice is to... You literally have to reprogram your brain. And one way I do that is through meditations every day, like repeat. You have to actually treat it as if it's brushing your teeth every day, like actually waking up and committing to it and doing it for 60 days straight. And you can't skip it. And you have to ingrain it as like a part of your routine. That's one way I reprogram my brain when I was going through a really difficult breakup. Also, surrounding yourself with people that are really positive and not reinforcing that dating sucks. Mm. Like, dating shit. Everyone sucks. You're never going to find anyone. There's this narrative that people have all the time about dating that's so negative. Yeah. And I always tell people, I'm like, if you're surrounding yourself with that energy and you're surrounding yourself with people that are constantly saying things like that, your brain is absorbing that information and you're going to attract more of it.
Yeah.
You have to block out the noise and actually really focus on your inner voice. And our inner voice can go crazy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't even monitor it, really. And we're like, we'll go in a spiral and be like, oh my God, I'm never going to find anyone. Like, dating sucks, this, that. And we will attract more of that if that's what we're constantly telling ourselves on a daily basis. So being very aware of your inner voice and changing the narrative and saying, I'm going to meet my soulmate. Mm. I'm going to meet the love of my life. Like, I am going to have an amazing relationship. Like, these 10 years have taught me so much and I needed those years to heal. And now I'm going to meet the love of my life. Like, you have to tell yourself that. Mm. The power of your words is a really big thing.
It's very true. Do you think, like, what about the person you didn't officially date? How do you get over, like, the almost person
that you didn't officially date
them, but, like, you literally will have dreams about them? Do you treat it the same way as, like, a long-term relationship breakup?
It's anyone that has an effect on you. Like, I don't think the actual label of the relationship has anything to do with how strongly you feel. And I've felt stronger about people that I was not dating than some of my boyfriends. It's just how it is. You can't control the connection. I think I did like a spiritual type of retreat in Mexico when I was going through my breakup, and I had some like really powerful messages coming through. I did like a psilocybin retreat.
That sounds so fun.
It was with like a professional guide, and I've talked about it on my podcast, and it's not legal everywhere. So
really?
No.
Ooh. It's not. Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like something you can do in Australia.
Yeah, I don't want to get arrested in Australia right
You'll
now.
You'll be fine.
But it was so eye-opening, and yeah, like one of the things I learned is that you can't control who you love. But you can control how you deal with it, and you can control if you like what you tolerate and what you will and will not accept in love. And that applies to situationships, that applies to long-term relationships, marriage, it applies to anything because you can't really control how you feel about someone. Mm. Like, you just feel it. As we were saying earlier, it's just a feeling.
Yeah.
And I always tell people that, they're like, you know, this was the love of my life, but we weren't officially dating. We're on and off, like, situationship for 8 months. And I'm like, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to, you know, beat yourself up that you weren't officially dating and you're heartbroken. It was still a connection. That doesn't mean it's, you know, less valid just because you didn't have a label on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's all semantics at the end of the day. And while, like, labels can be important to some people and, like, you have value attached to it, the connection is the real thing. So whether or not you're married or it's a situationship or you're dating, like, that connection remains the same regardless of the label.
Yeah, I mean, a label's just a word.
Yeah,
I always find it so funny, though, when sometimes you'd have dreams about someone and you're like, whoa, what are you doing here?
No, oh, my God.
You're like, I haven't thought about you for ages.
I've been there so many times. I've had crazy dreams about, there was this one guy that I was dating for, like, 5 months, and we were never, like, officially dating. And, like, 2 days ago, had a dream about him. And he was, like, asking me to go on vacation, and he was suggesting, like, the worst places in the dream. he was like, do you want to go? No, I'm not going to say that. I don't want to offend anyone if anyone's from, the, like, a country. But they were, like, giving, like, he was just throwing out all these, like, random places that no one would go on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that doesn't sound like a vacation. That's very weird. We were just, like, having a conversation. I woke up. I'm like, that was the weirdest dream. I haven't spoken to him in months.
They're like, so weird,
like,
aren't they?
And also, why? Like,
sometimes dreams help me. Like, they helped me get over someone. Like, they did something really icky in the dream. And I was like, oh, we're like, good now.
I don't love you anymore.
Like, no dramas. Not stressed about that anymore.
I love that.
Yeah, I was like, ugh. And then they're like, why are you off me? And I'm like, oh, you just don't worry about it.
I was whispering in your ear, being like,
you're like putting the headphones of, like, something you've recorded, being like, he's a deadbeat.
Yeah, he was chasing a ping pong ball.
That's hilarious.
Okay, moving on to the final chicks hotline from Brittany. He can't say I love you even after 2 years and living together, but I can't seem to end it. Oh, my gosh. As hard as it is, I think this is one of those cases where you need to let them go, to be honest. You have an amazing list of signs that you need to let them go, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's on the list. Like,
really?
Not saying I love you.
For no, that's 2 years.
Not on the, that's not on the list, but I've never had okay, so a lot of my podcasts, and my listeners know this, is, like, coming from my personal experiences.
Yeah.
I would never get to that point with someone if, like, I need to hear I love you, like, in a week.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
words of affirmations, girly.
I'm a big word of affirmations. So that's the love language, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need that. I need, like, all of them, honestly.
Me too.
And not the gifts. I don't think gifts are a big thing for me, but, like, physical affection. I mean, those are basic things you should want.
Yeah.
Physical affection, quality time, words of affirmation. But for me, words are a really big thing. And if I'm in a relationship with someone, you better love me. Like, why would you be with me then?
Mm.
I don't think there's a point. I think there could be, like, a waiting period of a few months, but 2 years is excessive.
Mm. It's a long time.
And you're living together.
That's wild.
Well, the thing as well is, like, do they show that they love you in other ways? Like,
I don't think that's enough.
I agree, but, like, maybe you need to talk to them about it.
Like,
and be
getting an I love you out of my ex was like pulling out his fucking back molar.
Really?
Yes. It's like a sign of, like, yeah, some deep commitment issues,
yeah.
I think. And, like, I think, like, even if you're not the sort of person that, like, literally is like, I love you when you're, like, handing them a coffee. That's
we
okay,
should be able
I guess,
to say,
but
I feel
like you should be able to say it.
And all the time,
whenever
and
you feel
it doesn't make it any less. Like, I would, like, just be in a state of delusion in this relationship because this person would never, like, very, very, very rarely say I love you, right? And I convinced myself that they didn't say it lots because that meant it meant more when they did say it. Like, it's just, like, I was like, oh, he doesn't say it enough because when he says it, he wants
really,
it to mean
yeah,
a
really
lot.
Mean it.
But now being in a healthy relationship, I'm like, oh, that was a dog shit excuse that I was making up to, like, account for the fact that this person was not just loving me.
Yeah. I do think it is situational, too. Like, as you said, if someone is showing that they really do love you and they're doing like really amazing things for you all the time and they're loving, that would be enough for me as long as the I love you comes here and there. Like it doesn't have to be an everyday thing.
No.
Yeah.
But just knowing that you're loved and feeling that is obviously a key point here, but it doesn't sound like, I don't think she would be submitting a question if he was being very loving.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. And also like, that's all good and well, but if you're a words of affirmations girly and that's what you need and this person isn't and they're not willing to compromise and learn that skill because it is a skill, then you guys aren't compatible, I don't think.
It's, it's hard to end it because you're in it, you're in the feels right now, but exactly what you were saying before, like you will come out of it and you do look back and you're like, whoa, like what was I even doing?
And you will find that person that will hand you a coffee and say, I love you, or end every phone call saying, I love you, and that will make you feel fulfilled and secure in the relationship.
I get what you're saying, though. Like, you wouldn't want, like, someone, like, 7,000 times a day being
No, I love being told I love you, like, constantly.
I think, like, but that's what you're 15 years into a relationship, though.
There's a difference between love bombing and...
Who's that? It's on, like, Will and Grace, and she's, like, dating this guy who like ends every sentence with I love you and she's like
enough,
please.
Yeah, but they've been together for 2 years now. I feel like you should be able to say
they're living together.
You should be able to say I love you 10 times a day.
I once had a guy say I love you, I just don't like you, and I was like, ow, when obviously not dating.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, well, he wasn't very nice.
Yeah, he wasn't a nice guy.
It's fine.
It's character building.
Yeah, it's character building. Good stories for the pod. That's what we like. Have you seen that trend at the moment? It's like things people I dated did and I still stayed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've seen that trend. I actually haven't been watching that many videos lately because I've been so busy. I think when I'm traveling, I don't go on my phone as much because I'm just enjoying.
Yeah.
But I saw like 2 videos from that trend and I was like, this is bad. Yeah. This is toxic.
I was thinking about it the other day and one popped into my head. That was really funny though. And it's toxic as fuck. But it was like things that someone I was dating said and I still stayed. And I just gotten out of the shower and I've got very curly hair and like if it doesn't have products in it, it's very fluffy. And we were having sex and he said, can you tie your hair up? I feel like I'm fucking a tree.
Oh my God.
So self-conscious about my natural hair for years after that. I know, but we can laugh now because I'm like over it.
Yeah.
And also we were like 19, 20.
Wait, hold on. You're talking about you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought you were saying some girl on TikTok.
No, this was me.
Oh, that was you?
This was me.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
My hair was, like, so big and fluffy.
But that's the thing. Whereas somebody
like,
who...
You tie your hair up. I feel like
Oh, my God. Whereas I feel like your boyfriend now would be like, I love your natural hair.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like somebody who loves you loves everything about you, even the things that you don't like about yourself and you think are a flaw. Yeah. Like, often those are the things that they think are the sexiest.
Oh, I will never forget it. Yeah. Like, I'll be lowered into the ground being like, someone tie my hair up.
No,
I'm kidding. It's fine.
I've got like some hedge trimmers.
Yeah,
I'm sure you looked great.
I bet you did too.
I was 19. I fucking looked great. All right. Let's go into our lightning round of hump him or dump him. Hump him meaning slay, get that girl. Get that girl. But get that D, girl.
Yep.
Like, yes,
whatever.
Go for it. Dump him, meaning Britney Spears wearing her iconic graphic shirt. Dump him.
Yep.
Dump his ass. Okay, we've got 3. So the first one, he initiates having sex every time you're over there.
Are they dating? Or?
Well, we didn't get that context.
One. Yeah.
I would say if you get like hookup vibes, dump him. If you want something more, but if you want to just have sex, then don't. Like, I don't.
If you want to just have sex,
depends on what you want.
But also, if you are getting more from the relationship or the interaction, whatever it is, if you guys are also having a conversation or having dinner or going on a date or laughing and chatting, but then he's still initiating sex every time, I don't really think that's necessarily a bad thing if you want to have sex.
Yeah, I think it's like the case of like walking in the door. And it's like, rough.
No.
Boom.
No. Yeah. No. Woof. Every time, dump him.
If you feel like you're being used, you're usually being used.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's so true.
If you have that feeling like, oh God, I don't think they like me for me, and it's just like a sexual thing, it's kind of clear.
Mm. Do you think like friends with benefits or fuck buddies can ever work?
I think it's harder for a woman. I think there's been people who say, you know, women can also do it too. I just think women are more emotional and we get attached with sex by nature just because it's like a, I think it's just like a biological thing. Mm-hmm. Not all the time. If you're really in a headspace where you're just looking to be single and have fun, it can work. But I think it always eventually fizzles out because one person catches feelings.
I feel like it's impossible not to.
Yeah.
Like, I think it could work temporarily.
Oh, yeah.
And then one person will shift energy and either one person falls for the other or, yeah, like something else will just happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it could work for like a long term. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a long-term relationship.
Just like having sex indefinitely. I don't really see the point in that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one's spicy. Thoughts on dating to date or dating to marry? My boyfriend just told me he isn't sure I'm the one.
I would die.
Dump him. Dump him. Like, why is he your boyfriend then?
Yeah, I agree. I just also think that, I don't know, that's so hurtful to say. But even, I know it's true though, so it's good to say it. But like, I would just end it there. I'd be like, let's take a break. Or I just don't think that you're the one.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're dating, depends on also the timing of your life. I think if you're very young and you want to just have experiences, that's also great. Mm. You know, I don't regret any of the short-term relationships I've had. I think everything teaches you something, but if she's looking to get married, I would end it.
Well,
dump him.
That's the thing. Yeah. Is like, Sal, you don't even, like, you don't want to get married. Yeah. That's not something on, you know, your priority list in a relationship.
Yeah.
But if someone, like, you're not dating to marry, basically.
Yeah.
You're dating because you love the person. But if they still turned around and said, you weren't the one, you would be incredibly hurt.
Oh,
you'd be like, deuces, goodbye.
Over. Yeah, dumped.
So it's like, even if you are dating to date, I feel like that's just putting a time limit on it, potentially.
Mm.
Being like, not sure if this is it, but I'm vibing it at the moment. Well, you also don't have to know. It's tricky.
I feel like it's giving you're not the one, which means that there's someone else out there.
What is the one?
Because if they believe that there is the one, I know some people don't believe that everybody has the one, and I think that's so fair. But if you're saying that, that means that you do believe it, but this person isn't it. So it's going to come to an end eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it really is the timing of your life too, because I'll give you an example. I came here and I met with someone from a dating app that was really cool, like super nice, super respectful, and like technically checked all the boxes of someone I would want to date, but I just didn't feel like it would be anything long term. Just the vibe I got, I feel like we do have a lot of differences. And I communicated that to him. I'm like, listen, I'm not dating to date anymore because I've had all those experiences. I think you need to go through experience. But if you're like, I'm 31, so I'm like, I'm ready for more of like, maybe not to get married right now, but just something serious where I'm not going to waste my time just dating to date someone. Like, I'm not going to get in a relationship with you just for the experience.
Mm.
So it depends on the timing as well, you know?
100%. Yeah. I think that's a thing that shitty relationships aren't costing you money, they're costing you time, and you can't get that back. You can't get a refund on someone wasting your time. So if you are like wasting your time on a guy that's only messaging you at 3 a.m. or on a Tuesday or a Thursday, like that's just not going to work.
Mm.
But moving on to our last dump him or dump him. Can we make this a regular
segment?
Yeah,
I like it.
Okay, this one sent in. I like him, but he's in an open relationship and I'm the side chick.
Dump him.
Like, if you like him and you want to be monogamous with him and you're not feeling satisfied by that relationship, dump him. Like, you guys want different things.
Mm, I think he might just end up getting hurt.
Yeah. That's a – I couldn't handle that.
No.
Yeah.
Because then he's cuddling, you know, you're not getting the Sunday morning cuddle, which is half the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's better to be alone than in a situation like that. I think because you're splitting your energy between someone that's not really investing fully in you and also just like you could be spending all that time focusing on yourself and then meeting someone that would be all in with you. Mm-hmm. I look at it like that.
Because, that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, because if you're splitting your energy, you're never going to meet your person if you're hanging on to someone in an open relationship.
Yeah.
But it also depends on what that person wants. Like
exactly.
But I also want it to be open with that person. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Just but depends. The fact that she said, but he's in an open relationship and I'm the side chick, like that sounds like it's a but.
Yeah.
It's not an and.
Yeah.
You know? I feel that's like that's true. A red flag.
Okay. What a great round of Hump Him or Dump Him, a regular segment coming to Two Broke Chicks. All right, so let's finish on a bit of a lighter note. You told us that you've been dating in Australia and you've been dating in obviously previously in New York City.
Yes.
So what's been like the main difference?
I've seen a major difference and I'll tell you what it is.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
And other people have also said this to me too and like confirmed that I wasn't crazy because mm-hmm. I got here and I studied abroad in Australia, so I've had experiences when I was 19 and now, so I'm kind of like, but it's the same thing. I find that men here do not approach women. Like, it's almost like you really have to make it either very obvious or almost you have to initiate or, like, you have to, like, look at them or, like, I don't know.
Stare into their optic stem and be like, yes, Kane, come over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's more effort. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because I think it's made me have to be more confident, like, in my approach to dating. But at the same time, American guys are like, hey, like, what's your number? I'll take you out. Like, they're so forward and fast and quick with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm used to that. So, and I'm from New York, which is like, every guy is like, no shame, we'll approach you. People approach me on the street all the time, whatever. Here, it's like crickets. Like, just walking around, I'm like, I'm just going to do me for the next month because I'm not using dating apps right now. And it's been really peaceful just to enjoy my time by myself. But I haven't really been approached or anything. There was only one time that I was. And it was, like, shocking. I was like, oh, my God, you actually. And then he was saying, he's like, yeah, guys, don't approach women here. It's a very rare thing because it's, like, a pride thing. And it's, like, just the way we're raised. And it's just different here. Which it's again, it's not a bad thing. And I kind of like it because it challenges me a little bit. But I've had to, I've kind of been doing me because I don't really like initiating.
Yeah.
I don't like initiating.
So
it's harder for me to approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, we don't like doing it. You do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some quick fire questions.
Quick fire between Australian and New York City men. Who's the better kisser?
Oh, God. It depends on the guy.
Nah, blanket.
Oh,
blanket.
Sorry. New York.
Oh, no. Okay.
I've only kissed like two people here. Well, that's a lot, I guess. I've only been here a month.
Slay. Love that.
That's okay. I'm like outing myself. I'm like exposing myself right now. I've kissed two guys. No. I would say New York.
Okay.
Good we to weren't. Know.
Sorry, I'll be quicker with my answers.
No, you can
overthink everything.
Oh, welcome.
So, yeah,
we're all family.
You're like, rapid fire, and I'm like, I'll tell you a whole story.
Yeah, I love it. Same, don't stress. Who has better banter or like flirting chat?
Australian.
Thank you. I was like, that's the one we've got to win.
You know, the Australians and the British. I lived in London last year, and the banter, it just makes everything so fun and funny. And it's nice. In the initial stages of dating, it's nice. But then you realize a lot of those people are also avoidant.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're funny, but you have commitment problems and you don't like me. But
you're emotionally stunted. Cool.
Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. At least it's good chat. Who has better first date etiquette?
Oh, I've had good experiences here with the two people that I was seeing, but I think I'm going to go with New York
because
I've had way more experiences. Mm. And I think all my boyfriends have been American and they've been like pretty respectful.
Love that.
Yeah. And then last one, who has better style?
Fashion here is really good, but I will say Americans, I think.
Well, I think New York
specifically.
Why am I saying Americans? Like, I'm from New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
New York is more definitely, It's just different.
Yeah. People in New York are very stylish.
They are. And Sydney especially is very casual.
You know, I was just thinking about the, like, women's fashion in Sydney is amazing. I haven't really noticed the guys because everyone's in a bathing suit. Everyone's wearing, like, bathing suits and flip-flops. So I'm like, okay, like, I can't really make a proper judgment.
I don't feel like it gets much better in winter.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, we're still wearing the bodies and flip-flops.
But it's
yeah.
nice. I think it's just, like, so refreshing to be here. I love it.
Also, like, Sal and my level of, like, good fashion on a guy is probably very rogue. Like, ours is, like, wearing, like, a Harley Davidson tee with, like,
some vintage jeans.
Vintage jeans and boots. Like, yeah. If they look like they came straight off a motorbike and into a dive bar, that's where, like,
smash.
Hump 10 out of 10. Hump him or dump him.
I love that.
Well, that is a wrap. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I wish we could go longer. I'm having so much fun.
I know, it's the best. For anyone who isn't already following you and listening to your podcast, where can the chicks find you?
My podcast is called Date Yourself Instead. It's on Spotify and Apple, and I also have an Instagram for it. Atlas is my personal, and then I have my podcast account at Date Yourself Instead.
Perfect.
Yeah. We'll put all the links in the show notes, because if you aren't already listening and following, you need to.
Yeah. And sorry we couldn't get to all the messages that were sent in. Like, there were so many, so we'll just have to do a part two.
Yeah. Exactly. Next time you come back.
Done. Thank you for having me.
No, of course.
It was our pleasure. And as always, thanks to you chicks for having us in your ear holes. We love to be here. And thank you to MIK Made for making today's episode happen.
Bye, chicks.
Bye.